Sugya Pesach Pasuach, arguably the most relevant sugya in all of Hilchas Yichud. You remember last time we opened the sugya of Pesach Pasuach. The Gemara says on Pei Aleph Amid Aleph. That Rav Yosef tells us Pesach Pasuach in Lirushus Harabim Ein Choshim Shem Yichud. We point out that every, and Shulchan Aruch quotes it, using the language of the Rambam, is bias. Shepischo pasuach l'shus harabim, ein choshishin mishum yichud. And we opened this discussion last time with the ha'ara that we're going to need to define every single term. Every single term needs to be defined, beginning with pasuach. Last time we spent time on how you define Pasuach. What does open mean? We saw that Pesach Tshuva quoted a rich machlokas between the Radvaz versus Bekig Veger and the Beis Meir. The Radvaz followed the simple reading of the Tshuva Sarashba that open just means unlocked. An unlocked door is Matur Yichud, or Bekig Veger and the Beis Meir took the more machmir position that Pasuach means wide open. And what we developed last time, help yourself. What we developed last time is that what the machlokas really is about is the yesh lachor. What's the matir of Pesach Pasuach? What's driving it? Is it the possibility, the opportunity for uninhibited entry, that people come in and out? Is that enough to matir? In which case, an unlocked door, at least in principle, should suffice, and that's the position of the Radvaz. Or do you say no? It's not the possibility of an entry. It's not the opportunity for uninhibited entry, but instead, it's more. It's visibility. It's the fact that anyone passing by can see you. You're an eye shot of anyone passing by. So in that case, as Rabbi Kivagan and the Beis Meir say, it's not enough that the door is unlocked and someone could come in. The door has to be wide open so that people actually, anyone walking by, actually can see you. So that was issue number one, how you define the word pasuach. How do you define pasuach? And we said that impacts, number one, that impacts, okay, how unlocked, how open does the door have to be? Number two, it impacts, when we say, bias. Shepischo pasuach, l'shus harabim, using the language of the Rambam Mechaber, so what's called bias. How much of the bias is mutter? So once again, obviously, according to Rabbi Kivagan and the Beis Meir, who demand visibility, the only part of the house or of the room that's mutter is the area that's in direct eyeshot of anyone passing by. Well, according to the Radvaz, any of the rooms of the house where if someone were to walk in, they might reasonably go into that room, which might often will be, let's say, you know, rooms on the first floor but not on the second floor. So that's a larger area that's considered to be part of the bayis shepischo pasuach l'shus harabim. Now this machlokas also drives this we did not look at last time. This machlokas also drives how you look at the next piece of Gemara. The next piece of Gemara, take a look inside. The next piece of Gemara is a complicated Gemara. We're going to take a look at a bit. The next piece of Gemara looks at a situation where you have an outer room and an inner room. You have two rooms, one behind the other. The bayis ha'pnim and the bayis ha'chitzon. So the inner room is a dead end room. This is the bayis ha'pnim. And the outside is the bayis ha'chitzon. So the Gemara talks about specifically, let's say, we're absolutely coming back to windows. Worry not. The story will return very soon. The Gemara says, Gemara talks about a scenario, Amar of Kahana, Kahana says, the Gemara is told specifically, told, we have a group of one gender in the outer room, a group of a different gender in the inner room. Either a group of men in the outer room and women in the inner room, or vice versa. So we're going to focus on one angle, which is the scenario of men on the outside, women on the inside. Rav Kahana thought, I'm Rav Kahana, second to last narrow line, Anashim b'achus v'nashim v'fnim ein choshim v'shim yichud, said men outside, women inside is not a problem, but the reverse is. Anashim v'fnim v'nashim b'achus v'chutz choshishim. And then Masnisa Tana Ibchav, as the Braisa said the reverse, and Rabbi said we ought to be machmir for both. Since Rav Kahana said one way, Braisa said the other way, Anan, Anon Navid L'chavra. So I want to focus specifically on the scenario when you have Anoshim Mibachot, the Noshim Mibifnim. And we assume in Shulchan Aruch that as Rabbi said, as the Braisa said, that is a problem. So the question is, and you'll see that in Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Zayin, excuse me, not Sif Zayin, Sif Vav, where we will return to the beginning of Sif Vav, many men with many women, ain't choshen liyichud. That's the implication of this Gemara. You have all the bunch of men and bunch of women in one room, that's fine, but if they're divided into two rooms, it may potentially be a problem. Anashim v'chutz, anashim v'fnim, Anashim v'fnim v'nashim v'chutz, or pirsha isha achas levein ha'anashim or isha achas levein ha'anashim. The way the Mechaber quotes from the Rambam is you have, let's focus on the case of men outside, women inside, and one man walks into this room of women. One man walks into the room of women. And we assume that's a problem. What do you think about that case? Based on what we just learned. You would have assumed. No, I have one man walked in here, together with several women. But there are a whole bunch of men right outside. So doesn't that sound like Pesach Pasuach L'shus Rabim? So here too, that divides along these. It divides along these lines. This is the base mayor's raya. He says, "Ah, don't you see that Pesach Pasuach? It's not enough that there are other people that could come in." So the door obviously isn't open, and that's why it's a problem. Base Meir says, you see from this din, the only that my machmer position, the only time Pesach Pasuach works, so it's mamish, wide open, everyone can see in, which is not the case here. While the Binyan Sion, to defend the position of the Radvaz, says something important that we already touched on last time in Svara, and this is the source, Binyan Sion says, no, even according to Radvaz, merely having your door unlocked is not a magical matir. The fact that the door is unlocked is only going to help if people are actually likely to come in. But if that's the men's side and this is the women's side, that's the men's room in the literal sense, that's the room of men, and this is the room of women, and you don't anticipate other men coming in. This one man came in, and you don't anticipate anyone else, even though the door is unlocked, someone, in theory, someone could come in. That's not enough. So either way, this Gemara speaks to the limitations of Pesach Pasuach. Even according to Radvaz, an unlocked door is not enough. It has to be a real chance, a real likelihood that someone is walking in. According to the Beis Meir, even more, there has to be an actual wide open door, actual visibility. So that goes to what we spoke about last time, that even if one's going to assume like the Radvaz, but the fact that I unlock my front door doesn't do anything unless I'm in a place where there's a real chance that an unlocked door means people are going to come in. For most of our homes, that is probably not the case. No one is coming in, no honest person who is not trying to rob your house is coming and just, you know, checking the door if it's unlocked, walking in under most circumstances. So yeah, it depends where you live, depends what type of block you live on. An apartment building may be different than a house, but even the Radvaz is only makelif. There's a real chance that people will pop in. Question?
Two things, and they're so connected to each other. If let's say a family member, would that count?
Absolutely. If there are people, that's what we said last time, Dovid Meshorim even said, it should be in a rug, even if the door is locked, but people have the key, and there's a real likelihood that one of the other family members, let's say, with one of the other roommates with the key will show up, that too is a matir. Practically speaking, probably would generally not advise locking the door, even for other people who have the key. That's at the very least, even if it's not technically yichud, because of Pesach Pasuach, usually locking the door is a little bit mechur hadavar, a little bit lo tova shmua. Usually it's a little sketchy, at the very least, to lock the door again, unless it's you're in a neighborhood where, for security reasons, you actually need to lock the door. But certainly, the way usually to make it a real Pesach Pasuach, according to Radvaz, is going to be asking people to pop in. If you ask people to pop in, you're home alone with a woman in the house, and so either there are family members who are, your mother is out taking care of errands, but she's going to be popping in some point in the next hour, you have no idea when, great. Or you ask a neighbor, you ask a friend, please feel free to pop by, there are cookies on the counter, feel free to pop by one or more times over the course of the next hour or two. If there's a real possibility, there's a real likelihood that people are going to pop in, that would be fine, lefi the Radvaz. Now, most poskim do assume like the Radvaz. The Chida, whom we heard from in the world of Baal Be'ir, he was associated with the Chazon Ish's position. The Chida also assumes like the Radvaz. And there at least the Dvar Halacha starts counting Rishonim. So there Rabbeinu Yonah in his Sefer Hayira. Rabbeinu Yonah is famous to us. Those learned Baba Bas remember Rabbeinu Yonah for his Aliyas Rabbeinu Yonah. And for the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif in the back of Rachas. If you're in the world of Musar, which we'll come to soon, Rabbeinu Yonah is famous for his Sefer Shari Tshuva, which is a very detailed guidebook to how to do Tshuva from Chatan. There's a much smaller Sefer from Rabbeinu Yonah. It's often published in the back as like an appendix to Shari Tshuva called Sefer Hayira, which is the positive flip side. Shari Tshuva is all about, you know, recognize your chataim and what you did wrong, and here are all the steps and the tools for tshuva. It's a very heavy sefer. The Sefer Hayira is how your life ought to look. And it sort of takes you through the day, takes you to different parts of your life, how a Jew ideally ought to live. And in so doing, there are a lot of subtle chidushim lahalacha, particularly in Arachayim. But here's one in Evan Ezer. The halacha points out, if you read the Sefer Hayira slowly and carefully, he seems to assume that Pesach Pasuach is as long as people might come in, even if you're not visible. And the Ritva in Kiddushin here probably sounds like that as well. But we'll come back some more. So Alpi Pashtus, there's definitely reason to make like the Radvaz. We will come back soon, before the end of the shiur, to talk to firm it up lahalacha l'maisa a little bit more. We have left off last time a situation that everyone agrees is mutter, even the Beis Meir. And that is if you have a window. I mentioned that Nari Yehuda seems to assume it's Dabar Pashut. Halona Pasuach Lushos Rabin, Pesach Pasuach Lushos Rabin, because no one demands entry. If you're visible, that's good L'chol HaDeis. The Radvaz is Mekel, that entry, uninhibited entry is enough to be Matar. But everyone agrees if you actually are visible, you have a window, or presumably no one's jumping through your window, but people can see you. If you're within eyeshot of the window, people can see you from the street. That should definitely be mutter, based on Gemara's and Avodah Zarah and the halachas of Yayin. So I promise you a story about Chalon Pesach Lushos Rabin that captures what it looks like to maintain high standards both Ben Amachai and Ben Amachai. And we left off at the very, very end of last year, just sort of giving you the intro to the story before the story, is to appreciate who Chaim Ezer was and how intensely productive he was, and how intensely busy he was. The calls on his time, particularly during those years, during that period of time when Vilna was a pass-through for Jews trying to get across borders, as World War II was beginning. So he was intensely involved, not only with the Shilas from across Eastern Europe, he involved up until that point, and taking care of his community in Vilna, the many, many needs of the community in Vilna, but also taking care of all the refugees and fugitives that were coming through back and forth, refugees. And as I mentioned last time, he was also apparently a true multitasker. It's hard to know how many of those stories are true. They definitely don't tell stories about you and I and how we're, you know, sitting there writing shuvas with two different shuvas, two different hands, and on both two phone calls in 2 years, and the shachtim are here, and the din Torah is over there, and a woman asking for tzedakah is over here. Everything's happening sort of all at the same time. the seven-ring circus. I don't know whether there were seven rings happening simultaneously, but he was definitely intensely busy. There were incredible demands on his time, and intensely productive, which makes all the more remarkable, the following story all the more remarkable. A young woman comes to him, and she says, she's a little bashful, what is it, how can I help you? So she says she's getting married another week or so, couple days. It's wonderful. Can he be helpful with financing the wedding? No, Baruch Hashem is taken care of. But I have no mother. She had lost her mother. She was a Soma. And the help she particularly needed was the following. Nowadays, it's typical that before Chasan and Kala get married, so there'll be either you learn Hilchus Nida individually with the Rebbe, or the mentor, or their Chasan Kala class. And you join that, and you learn Hilchus Nida. There's a whole Masechta to learn, but just in terms of learning practical Halacha Maisa in advance of the wedding, up until you get married, Hilchus Nida is 99% Kachim, in the sense that it's totally irrelevant. So you can learn it a little bit, but it's totally abstract. And when it's about to become a Maisa, you have to, at the very least, learn the Halacha Maisa you need to know. So nowadays, what's typical is learn either one-on-one or in classes. Classes for chassanim, classes for kalos. In pre-war Europe, it was typical that girls learned Hilchus Nida from their mothers before they got married. So she has no mother, and she didn't have she didn't have a network, an aunt, a grandmother, and she was feeling very alone. So Chaim Eiser realized, chief rabbi of Vilna, he could have sent her to this one, to that one, who will be less busy. But she got the courage to come to him, and instead of sending her on, so he said, no problem. And he could have also taken her, said, okay, we'll spend some time talking about this Nida, a Yichud problem, let's go for a walk in the park. But that would have been incredibly uncomfortable. Like for her, everyone sees that she's walking, talking with one of the Gedolei Hadar, and what does she want, da-da-da-da-da. She says, no problem. He says, come over to the window of his office. So you here, make yourself comfortable, have a seat. And he stood at the window like this for probably a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and calmly taught her all of his, you know, everything she needed to know. She was comfortable. She had her privacy. She was sitting down, out of eyeshot. And he was standing at the window. Anyone walking by could see Chaim Eliezer was standing there. Didn't know who he was talking to. Didn't need to know who he was talking to. The fact that he was visible, Halona Pasuach Lushus Harabim, solved the Yichud problem. He made himself uncomfortable, and he stood there for an hour or two or three, and put her at ease. She felt comfortable, and she felt comfortable asking her questions, and it was, once again, striving ambitiously for the highest standards, both of Be'am Makom and Be'am L'Chaveru. In terms of the halachos, the halachic details of Chalon HaPasuach L'Shus HaRabim, an important point to know is not only is, and this will come up, L'masa, you know, Chalon HaPasuach L'Shus HaRabim sounds like a great solution if you're on a first floor. If you're on a first floor. What do you do if you're not on the first floor? People, sort of like having your door unlocked and your window is wide open, but no one, obviously no one in the street can see you if you're on the third floor. And I should stress, as Rebbe Chaim Eliezer taught us via his story, Chalon HaPasuach L'Shus HaRabim will often be very useful for a therapist. Not going to be so useful for a doctor's office, but it can be very useful for a therapist's office. And specifically, you can set it up, as Rebbe Chaim Eliezer did, so that the patient is out of sight, but the therapist is in view of people walking by. If you can organize your office that way, you have a window in the door, something like that, or a window facing the street, that often will be the simplest, most graceful solution. But how does it work if you're not on the first floor? So that's what Dvar Halacha points out. So number one, if you're not on the first floor, you can have a window, if you're on you have one suite or one office on the hallway, so you can be, you're thinking Ner Chanukah style, If you're visible to people passing by the hallway, that's good enough. I think Mrs. Sheffy's first office when she came here was in the space that's now the mezzanine of the library. It's now occupied by Rabbi Brownstein and Mr. Srego. And her office was arranged with a screen so that anyone walking by in the hallway could see her, but not see a boy who had come to talk to her. Is that whoever wanted to talk to her had his privacy? And she was visible. I think that's how she's continued to arrange it in various rooms that she's been in, where she's visible, even if the boy who's come to speak to her is not. The poskim, Dvar Halacha points, sorry?
That's
what the memory there is for. Yeah. Dvar Halacha points out that another setup that works for chalon is chalon mul chalon. Sometimes you have on a higher floor, you'll have, let's say, an apartment building or an office building, but sometimes the building is shaped like a U. So the building wraps around, and you can see across to facing buildings. Or there's just another building right next door. So if it only works if you actually see it. You have to think about lighting and think about distance. But if you're actually visible, whether you're visible through the window to passersby down below, or you're visible through the window to people in the office across, that's fine. Another example, very, very, very significant, of chalon mul chalon, is cars on the highway. If you are visible, a big discussion in Poskim about cars, Rav Moshe Feinstein's unusual chumrah. But Mincha Shlomo writes, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Simin Tzadiyah, if you want to take a look, he writes that he thinks if you're on the highway and you're on the street, you're on the highway, people can see in. Whether it's people on the street, you're not driving so fast and people on the street can see into your car, or you're moving quickly with other cars on the highway also, and they could see in. So that's chalon mul chalon. That is sufficient. But that brings us, and I will take some questions afterwards, that brings us to the next question. We discussed so far bias. We discussed Pesach. Right? We said Pesach could be a chalon as well. Pasuach, and that derives bias also. And finally, bias shepis pasuach lirishos harav. What's called Oshos Harav? That's very significant. Very, very significant. So turn back to the Shulchan Aruch, take a look at the Bar Heter. The Bar Heter, you see on the very bottom, you've probably seen the Bar Heter in Mishnah Berurah as well. Mishnah Berurah is just another edition of Shulchan Aruch with other Pirushim. He wrote his own Mishnah Berurah Sharetzion and Be'er Halacha, but he included some of the classical Mefarshim as well. One of which is the Bar Heitev. He well explains. The Bar Heitev's usual job is to summarize, his main job is to summarize the two classical Mefarshim on the side of Shulchan Aruch. But every once in a while he'll add more material as well. And this is one of the places where he does that. L'Rishos HaRabim. See Sifkat and Tetz right below Shulchan Aruch. See that Bar Heitev? We're going to jump in to the end of the second line. Had the Pesach pasuach l'shus harav mein choshishin. We say Pesach pasuach l'shus harav mein choshish. Davka bayom avav alayla lo. That did only apply during the day, but not at night. Oh, okay. Who knew? This is like a mitzvah so bayom. This is like halal. This is like bris milah. This is like lulav. Davka yom not balayla. So well, why should this be tali yom and layla? He says no. It's not a din in does not tell you whether you hold a random time or not. It's not about technical layla. Over layla nami, davka b'shtei shows or gimel shows b'yosef. We mean 2-3 hours into the night. Shebnei adam etzuyim b'vateim. At that point, people are already in their homes. The ein over v'shav. No one's walking on the street. Avel v'chatzi shasha layla in the first half hour. Shebnei adam over v'shav. There still is traffic, foot traffic on the street. By dying, watch for it. Lo kolsa regel min ashuk. There you have once again the Ner Chanukah terminology. If it's not yai kol regel min ashuk, ki yom chashiva le. That is the status of daytime. The ein choshen yichud. There's no concern of yichud. Where does this come from? The Knesset Agadol, from the very, very early Sfaradi Achronim. Shem Tshuva Saviach. He had some manuscript Tshuva that he was quoting. I assume that's what Kaf Yud stands for. The Knesset Agadol. So the Bar Heitev quotes the Knesset Agadol that that Pesach Pasuach, which is Rambam, is only at night, but only during the day, or during the hours of night when there's still foot traffic, not when there are no Ovrim V'Shavim. That's obviously not really as about when as much as about where. That's your definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah Rabbah means Pasuach to an area where there's traffic. It's obviously not telling whether there's an Erev or not. I don't hold the Erev in this place, so therefore I hold Pesach Pasuach as Mutter. No. Obviously Rosh Hashanah Rabbah means this is not Rosh Hashanah Rabbah for Shabbos. It is not Rosh Hashanah Rabbah in the Bava Kama sense, nor Rosh Hashanah Rabbah in the Bava Vasra sense. A little bit like Rosh Hashanah Rabbah in the Safer Tumah sense, has to do with whether there are people there or not. If there are over in Veshavin, if there are over in Veshavin, the Pisrei Tshuva, I think, quotes it as well. The Sifkat and Tess, Ayin Bar Heite B'Shem Knesset Zagadola, and so on and so forth. He begins to point to Rishonim. There's a Ran and a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. Once again, here's another overlap that we've touched on a little bit. In terms of halachas of yayin, leaving a nachri alone with wine may make the wine trade. So some of the dinim of how much, you know, supervision is there correspond, Postman will point out, to some of the dinim of yichud. So there too, Rishus Harabim is defined as when there are ovrim v'shavim. So what constitutes ovrim v'shavim? So our halacha quotes, I think, if I remember correctly, from both Rishon Zalman and Eliyashiv, it's thought that means if there's someone passing by roughly every 5-10 minutes, that's called Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. So let's say you're on a date, and it's going well, but then things are starting to get quiet wherever you are. So you're going to want to relocate to a place, figure out a spot, with outdoors, indoors, depending on the weather, depending on the season. Apparently this week, the season doesn't determine the weather. Whatever it is, depending on the weather, you'll figure out outdoors, indoors, you'll find a place where there's still traffic. Again, different places. Some places quiet down earlier, and some places there are people on the street later. So you want to be, let's say, if you're visible, if you're in the line of sight of a street where there are people still walking by every 5-10 minutes, that is considered to be pasuach l'rishus harabim. The Devar Halacha in Sif Tezvav has an additional chiddush, and he says there's another way to go with Rishus Harabim. Either there's Ovrim Rishavim, okay? You're open to a place where there's foot traffic, or he says, option one is Ovrim Rishavim, and he says option two is a combination. The Chiddush, this is based on Dvar Halacha's read in the Tshuvas Radvaz, Mu'ar plus Pasuach Mamash. He says, let's say you're at the front window of a house, or you're sitting in a car, and it's, as he puts it, like Laila Kayom Yara, like fully bright, such that, even though it's very later, but if anyone from any of the houses across were to wake up, peek out the window, they would immediately see you. You're like Bamish spotlight. The lights are totally on. You have the curtains are totally drawn in the living room, the front room. The big bay window is open, and you're sitting right there, and all the lights are on. So the Dvar Halacha thinks based on Radvaz that if it's heavily lit and pasuach mamish, so you would, if anyone from around, any of the neighbors would peek out for a moment, they would immediately see you. He thinks that is mutter. This is often an end of date situation. So it's a good date, but you got to bring her back. But you still want to talk in the car for another half hour. So do you go in the house? Do you not go in the house? That's both a question of, do you want to be a part of the family conversation or not? And it's also a question of ichud. Well, is anyone still awake in the house or not? You have to figure out who's home, who will be awake. Is the house mutter that we discussed earlier? When do sleeping people, if there are enough people who be macha yichud who are asleep, who might come down, so that's going to solve your problem. If not, then not. So you might want to stay in the car. To stay in the car, there are other people in the street. It depends where the girl lives, how busy is the street. So it could be there's still people on the street. Anyone walking by would see you. Okay. Or it could be not, but if you have the dome light on, you might not be comfortable driving with a dome light, just in terms of the quality of your driving. But if you're parked, so you hopefully don't really need to drive anywhere. You're just talking. So then if you have the lights that mamash bright, and anyone around could see you, so that again, within the bounds of propriety and avoiding something that's just mechura adavar, within the bounds of propriety, even if it's very late, the assumption is if you are facing many houses and you're very well lit, whether in a car or at a bay window that faces all those houses, very well lit, and the windows are totally open, Radvaz assumes that also qualifies as Pesach Pasuach L'Shus HaRabim. So let's recap where we've been. There's one final, very important din you want to talk about within the world of Pesach Pasuach. But first, let's just concretize and recap where we've been so far. So again, talking about, now look at the language of Shulchan Aruch, Bayis, Shepisko Pasuach L'Shus HaRabim. So he said again, machlokas between the Radvaz and the Chida versus the Kivager and the Beis Meir is the basic heter pasuach means just that there is uninhibited entry, or means more there's actual visibility. Okay, if there is visibility, it definitely works, and that's bayis or chalon, which is pasuach l'shus harabim. It's definitely going to work in an area in the part of the house, that part of the bayis, so pesach or chalon. That part of the bias is actually in line of sight. If you hold like the Chida and the Radvaz, as Rav Yonah and Radvaz seem to say, then even if it's just a real chance of entry, that's already good enough. A real chance of entry, people, the real likelihood that people are coming in, whether it's people that you invited or people that the Mela, that you know may really be popping in, or you live in a type of street where if the door is open or certainly ajar, people will help themselves to your cookies, and they'll knock and come in. Or we discussed last time, if you're in a doctor's office and you develop, you're a physician and you develop the culture in the office, that it's appropriate for other staff, not for obviously random people, but for other staff, other doctors, nurses, PAs, to knock the door, crack the door, knock, and then walk in a few seconds later. So that's also the Radvaz and the Chida's pasuach in the sense of uninhibited entry. In terms of Rishus HaRabim, what constitutes Rishus HaRabim? So it's either a case, typically, it's a case that there are over Rishabim, a space where there are people walking by at least once every 5-10 minutes or so, if not more. And then you have the Radvaz's Kiddush, his Kula, the Dvar Halacha is reading the Radvaz, that even if it's later, that if you are facing a whole slew of houses, and it's very well lit, and your windows are mamash wide open, so that combination, mul kama batim, that combination should work as well. Questions. Not what if questions, but present understanding.
Isn't there a thing that you're not, that like the average passerby is not supposed to look into windows of houses?
Yeah, it's a good point. You should not. For the Maisa, people often do. It's a little bit like the discussion at the beginning of the Chesed Zavatin. The assumption is that people chaver say people talk about stuff. And some post can raise the question, one second, but shouldn't they be worried about Lashon Hara? Why are they talking about this? Either this is not something that's Lashon Hara, or it's true that if they were to ask a shayla, we would tell them not to, but the reality that many people do is going to drive the fact that the information spreads. Right, so whether or not everyone should be peeking into everyone else's windows, you raise a good point.
To help them,
yes. Yes, I don't think you have to post this. In order to be Matri Yichud, you don't have to post a sign, it's okay, please be a kid, you're helping us by being Matri Yichud. I don't think you need to do that. The assumption is that as much as everyone else ought to be careful, when I say I'm going to be inhibited, because I know that plenty of people will look around. Again, when I was not talking about people like going over to a window with binoculars, I told you, I just like if you're visible from someone passing by, like, let's say like you can see that wooden box out there without trying, you just look and you see it.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like it's a frosted window. You need a tinted window. You need to walk over and peer through the window. That's not Pesach Pasuach. That's not Chalom Pasuach Pasuach. If it's easily visible, anyone walking by just looking around will casually see. We're not necessarily talking about spying on people. Yeah. Anytime.
What kind of people do you want as your passerby? Does it matter if it's a Jew or non-Jew?
Yeah, so I think we assume Rishus HaRabim. It's a good point.
Like if someone wants to go on a date and they go to a non-Jewish, like
Yeah, so that's actually a very, very good point. I think we may have touched on this a little bit in an earlier shiur where we spoke about the machlokes, and now we're better positioned to appreciate it because of the gemara we saw today. In an earlier shiur where we spoke about kshein versus prutzim, and the position of the Rambam was that you take the story and pay off on an alpha at face value, and no one's a kasher b'zman hazeh. Right? And that's the way Mechaber seems to quote. So the Ramah quotes the majority of both Ashkenazi and Sephardi Rishonim, who disagree and say, no, kasher means a normal religious person is kasher. And that story about Rav saying that we're not shamed, that itself was one of Rav's chumras. An important point, though, even though we didn't accept the Rambam lahalacha, an important point that is lahalacha is the following. That while if you open Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hey, the Mechaber quote the Rambam, one woman with many men is aser, because prutzim, if they're prutzim, many men doesn't help. Or the same is true in the reverse. However, in Sivzai, and that's because the Mechaber is assuming like the Rambam that kulanu prutzim is manazeh. Yet look at Sivzai, that we just peeked at based on the Gemara, the next Gemara of Anashim v'Nashim, Anashim v'Chutz, Anashim v'Fnim. This latter half of Sif Zayin had been, the two groups are in two different places. As we pointed out, the beginning of Sif Zayin, excuse me, the beginning of Sif Vav, I'm sorry, Nashim harbe im Anashim harbe in Choshishim. And that's based on that next Gemara. You have men in one room, men in another room, that may or may not be a problem. If they all be together, mutter. Even though it's the same Rambam assuming that we're all prutzim, so you see the anashim harbe vin nashim harbe qualifies as a rishus harabim as mutter even if they're all prutzim. So the post can have a discussion. I think we touched on then. Now maybe we appreciate more. Chakas mechoki beishmu have a discussion. How many is harbe? I think we usually assume harbe is three, not two. But that's a matter of debate. If you have a group of men and a group of women together, it doesn't at that point, that's considered to be public. It doesn't matter whether they're ksherim or prutzim. Again, we have a different definition of ksherim and prutzim than the Rambam did, but that point, that once you're birabim, it's fine, that's just not yichud. Again, that is, if you're in Times Square, so even if everyone who surrounds you is a parutz or a prutza, it's not an Isra Yichud. It might not be a good idea to be there for a variety of reasons. It may be Mechur HaDavar on many levels. It may be severe Histaklis issues on many levels. But in terms of technical Hilchas Yichud, that's not Yichud. It could be, even if you would say every single person around you is a Paratz or a Pritzah, that it still isn't Yichud because it's not Yichud. It's not secluded. You are in public. Anashim Harbe, V'Nashim Harbe is the definition of public. That presumably is the case here as well. If there's a open-ended pool of people going by, even if it could be many or most of them are prutzim, you don't have to start making a cheshbon, well, is there a kasher or a ksheira walking by every 5-10 minutes? No. There's a mass of people. So a mass of people just that solves the problem. But that brings us to one last issue. And this is very, very significant. It starts with a situation that hopefully doesn't come up. Hopefully we don't come across. But it has relevance for situations that we do hope to come across. You look back at the Shulchan Aruch, in the previous sif. Let's go back for a moment to Baal Be'ir. Do you remember that the Gemara had put Baal Be'ir and Pesach Pasuach had been very much side by side? Remember, Rabba said Baal Be'ir is mutter, in Choshesh and Rosh said Pesach Pasuach is in Choshesh. And then the Gemara told a story about Rav Yosef, but involving Baal Be'ir. And what was the upshot of that story? Although Baal Be'ir is mutter, but not when. What was the exception to Baal Be'ir? What is that? Libo Gaspa, right? Libo Gaspa, right? Baal Be'ir is mutter, but not Libo Gaspa. And Pesach Pasuach gets sort of woven in between the din of Baal, the heter Baal Be'ir and the exception of Libo Gaspa, nor sticks in Rav Yosef. So that makes you wonder, is there some connection? Why the Gemara tell us Pesach Pasuach and then come back to Levo Gaspar. Could it be, you already wondered just from reading the Gemara, maybe Levo Gaspar is relevant not only to Bala Be'ir, but also to Pesach Pasuach, which would have intense relevance, because it would mean, as I mentioned, we're learning Bala Be'ir. An example of the reality of Levo Gaspar is a couple who's dating seriously, certainly a couple who's engaged, one hopes, unless you're dating Hasidish, I mean that seriously. You're not dating Hasidish, so by the time you're engaged, and hopefully well before, there's already a lot of comfort from the one another, and that's in a very appropriate way, hopefully, Levo Gaspa. That's obviously irrelevant to the Heter of Baal Be'ir, because Baal Be'ir presupposes that the woman who's in the Yichud situation is already married to someone else. So the examples of Libo Gaspa by Baal Be'ir are a relative or someone you grew up with or something like that. But if Libo Gaspa were to be an exception to Pesach Pasuach, then that would be intensely relevant. So if dating is going well, so at a certain point you have to say Libo Gaspa, and now Pesach Pasuach is no longer a relevant hetzer. And that's really very significant. Is that true? Is that not true? Is Libo Gaspa only an exception to Baal Be'ir? It's an exception to Pesach Pasuach. So right from looking at the Gemara, you wonder. And then take a look back at Siv Ches. Ishish Baal Be'ir Choshin L'Sachim Ha'ap Pei She'emaz Baila Aleha. Okay. Baal Be'ir. Ve'em Ha'il Zed Libo Gaspa. So then Lo Yisachim Ha'ap. What were the examples of Libo Gaspa? The first ones came from Rashi. Of the Gemara, Gadlimo, Kravaso, they grew up in the same block, they were friends as kids, they were friends in kindergarten, or they're related, a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law, cousins, an aunt and a nephew. Oh, Imkine la baila imze. If so, those first examples of Libo Gaspa are very positive. The last example is incredibly negative. Kine la baila. So, Reuben says to his wife, I suspect that there's something going on between you and Shimon, inappropriate, there's an inappropriate relationship, you should not be alone with him. That's kinoi. That's the first of the two steps that create the situation of sota safek. If there's a kinoi, the husband says to his wife in front of Edom, nebuch, well, it's love. So things should come to this pass, that the husband feels a need, either correctly, or either he's paranoid, or he's not paranoid, and unfortunately something really is awry. Either situation is very, very sad. The husband says to his wife, Reuven says to Eshes Reuven, in front of two Edim, Edus Lakim Adavar, I think there's something going on between you and Shimon, you should not be alone together. Al Tistri Mishploni. Nebuch. So at this point, if she is Nisteres with Shimon, so then she becomes a Sotel Safek. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes not from Rashi, from the Trumas Hadesh, and late Ashkenazi Rishonim, that in that case Pesach Pasuach doesn't work. For Eshes Reuven and Shimon to be alone together with the door open, sorry, Pesach Pasuach doesn't help you because Kine La Baila. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you? Well. Well, yes. Yeah, so what does this tell you? What is this? Why is that true? Well, let's understand. The Truma Sedeshan said Pesach. Sorry, the Truma Sedeshan is Baal Be'ir. Sorry, Truma Sedeshan, Baal Be'ir doesn't work. He said Baal Be'ir doesn't work. I'm sorry?
She doesn't have any Baal left because her Baal clearly
said. Yeah. So the Taz. In Sivkat and Ches, take a look at the Taz. Many Chalakim of the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz is in the side. You hear the Taz is displaced by the Chazit Mechalkir Beishmol, and Eben Ezra appears in the bottom. Os Ches, the brackets. Ba'ish Epistle Pasuach, Gamaze Yesh Yisri Yichik Yishikin Ela Baila. Behu Mavur Lehdi B'Trumas Adashin. Trumas Adashin, he says, you look at Trumas Adashin, he says, Beferish, neither Baal Be'ir nor Pesach Pasuach works. However, Libo Gaspa is fine. The Taz is of the opinion that Libo Gaspa is not an issue with Pesach Pasuach. Whereas the Chalkas Mechoke says not so fast. Chalkas Mechokik says near the Hachanami Begasba Uvekinin La Aser Vechena Betrumas Hadash Zimin Reish Mem Dalad. So the Halacha Lamaisa Libo Gaspa Pesach Pasuach Plus Libo Gaspa. The Ta says Mutter. The Chalkas Mechokik What's the issue? And they're both pointing to the same Shurim Sadeshin. Shurim Sadeshin says clearly that Pesach Pasuach plus Kinil Baila, no good. So the Taz is understanding that Kinil Baila is very different. That has nothing to do with Libo Gaspa. Libo Gaspa means it's a nice friendly familiarity. Libo Gaspa is a nice friendly familiarity. Kinil Baila, that's something totally different. As you were saying, that's a problem that's going to create a sota, and that sota maybe is not the same as yichud. So the Taz thinks it's unrelated, and therefore there's no source to say that pes basuah plus libo gaspa is mutter. It also means, perhaps as Rav Shefter points out, that Taz thinks that pes basuah is not yichud whatsoever. As we were saying before, by Rosh Hashanah, you're in public. The Taz says the word dinami. If you're open to the public, it's just not yichud. There's nothing to talk about. Maybe it's steer for a sota, but it's not yichud. Well, the Chelkas Mechokik understood it. No, Shurim Sadeshin's idea of a libo gaspa, it's not a unique din in sota. It's a negative example of libo gaspa. So if the Shurim Sadeshin said the Pesach Pasuach plus Kinul Abayla is no good, then any positive libo gaspa is going to be the same, which implies the Pesach Pasuach is also, it's a heter, it's yichud with a heter. It's yichud with a heter, and therefore there could be exceptions. Halacha lamaisa, with this we close. Halacha lamaisa, with this we close. This is a very relevant shiloh. So my impression is, the postmen are willing to accept one of these two kulas, but not both. In other words, my impression is, it's not just a question of multiple kulas, but also of lamdas shabo, that my impression is that postmen are willing to make up by libo gaspa if it's pasuach mamash. If you have Rekiva Eger, Beis Meyers, this is why I said we would come back to that. If you have mamash visibility, there it's much easier to say it's not yichud whatsoever. And there, if you have the higher standard pesach pasuach, that we would rely on even when it's libo gaspa. The lower standard of pesach pasuach, that there's a real chance that people may come in, but you're not actually visible to anyone passing by, we're willing to rely on that razvaz, but not by libo gaspa. So again, halacha lemaisa. In a normal case, you're alone with a random woman. So then we generally will accept, assuming it's not mechur hadavar, we would accept even the weaker form of pesach pasuach as being acceptable. The radvaz, if there's a real chance, not just that technically the door is unlocked, there's a real chance of people coming in that suffices for yichud between two random people. However, if they are already libo gaspa with one another, for instance, a couple that's whose dating is going well, certainly a couple that's engaged, at that point we would say we're going to demand the higher standard of pesach pasuach. It's not enough that people may come in; you have to actually be visible to anyone walking by. In that situation, it's much easier to say the taz is lamdus, that it's just not yichud at all. You're in public; anyone walking by can see you. So, assuming it's not mechur, that would be mutter, the higher standard of pesach pasuach, even if it is libo gaspa.